May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 961. Be still, my heart, these anxious cares to thee are burdens, thorns and snares. They cast dishonour on thy Lord and contradict his gracious word. Hymn 961. Reading from God's holy word is Psalm 35. Psalm 35. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which deliverest the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy, from him that spoileth him. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in mine adversity they rejoiced, and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me, and ceased not. With hypocritical mockers in feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me. Neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, Aha, aha, our eye hath seen it. This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, Ah, so would we have it. Let them not say, We have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Amen. May the Lord bless that portion of his holy word to our souls and help his servant to pray.
Dear Lord, we do seek now for a breath of real prayer. Oh, how we need thee continually to teach us how to pray. And Lord, as we gather this evening, oh, we pray for the gracious help and aid of thy blessed Holy Spirit. And oh, that we might be enabled to worship thee in spirit and in truth and in the beauty of holiness. Oh Lord, we do desire that thou wilt draw near to us as thou didst to those that journeyed to Emmaus, that thou would abide with us this evening, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. Oh, we pray that thou wilt rend the heavens and come down, we might be favoured to feel and to know thy sweet presence both in our hearts and within these walls. We might prove what the dear poet said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. Oh, may we be favoured, Lord, to see by faith no man save Jesus only. Oh, we pray for a grain of faith to believe. That faith, Lord, to believe that thou wilt hear and answer our poor groaning. Oh, do help us to spread before thee our great need. For thou hast said, I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. O Lord, thou knowest how each one has gathered this evening, and we pray that our gathering together may be of thee. There may be the sweet fulfillment of thy promise, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And O Lord, may we be favoured to hear thy voice. Oh, that thou wouldst speak to our never-dying souls. For thou hast said, My sheep, hear my voice. Oh, may we be amongst that blessed number, Lord, of thy sheep that shall hear thy voice. And, O Lord, we do pray thou wilt come and suit thyself to every sinner's case. Oh, may none be empty sent away. May there be a portion for seven and also for eight. Lord, we do pray thou wilt give us that grace we so need to confess our many, many sins before thee. How we need, Lord, to be washed and to be cleansed in that precious blood of Jesus. Oh, may we each have a sacred interest in the precious blood of Jesus. That precious blood that shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. And, O Lord, do breathe peace into our souls, that peace that passeth all understanding. And, O Lord, the often turmoil of mind and of heart, the many tossings to and fro. But, Lord, as thou didst deliver thy dear disciples, we beg that thou wilt deliver thy dear people, tossed with tempests, tossed with storms today, and grant that sweet peace within their souls. Do help those, Lord, that are troubled. Oh, help them to bring their troubles to thee, to cast all their cares upon thee. May they have the sweet assurance thou carest for them. And Lord, do dry up the tears, we pray, of thy weeping people. Many are weeping, Lord, over their sins, weeping because they are in darkness and sorrow. Lord, we pray, thou wilt turn those tears of sorrow into tears of joy. Oh, may all thy sorrowing ones sweetly prove thy precious promise. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you. And, O Lord, we pray that we might each have that real religion thou dost give to thy people. Oh, may we truly be quickened by thy Spirit, born again, hungering and thirsting for the truth, as it is in Jesus. Lord, do make us real, make us right. Teach us all that we need to know. Lord, do help us to pray with thee, dear psalmist, that I know not, teach thou me. We pray that we might each be in the school of Christ and learn wisdom's lessons well. Lord, how we need that heavenly wisdom to be given. Knowest our foolishness and ignorance. Oh, we pray to be made to salvation wise. We pray for grace that we might endure to the end. We might hold on our way. And that grace, Lord, humble ourselves under thy mighty hand. Oh, do ever make us, Lord, as nothing. And a precious Jesus, the all and in all. We pray thou wilt go before us in or the untrodden steps of life's journey. And, O Lord, do prepare us for thy will, both for life and for death. May we be amongst those like the wise virgins and be ready, waiting for thy coming. O Lord, may we have that bright oil in the vessel, and that we may be ready. For thou hast said, and they that were ready went into the marriage, and the door was shut. Oh, we pray to be among those that are shut in with thee, Lord. Oh, ever save us from being shut out eternally. And we do beg, dear Lord, thou wilt bless the dear children, the dear young people. Remember them each here, Lord, with the favour thou bearest to thy people. Look upon our own grandchildren and remember them and keep them, preserve each of the young, Lord. Thou knowest the many snares there are in this world and the snares there are in natural religion. But oh, may they be blessed with living vital faith and given that faith to look wholly to thee. And that their eyes might look right on and their eyelids straight before them. Preserve and keep them from this world and all its snares and dangers. And we beg of thee to raise up those that shall be useful in their day and generation in Zion. Lord, I do pray thou wilt give God the pillars from among the young and those that shall be a greater strength and asset to thy cause here and to Zion. Lord, may it please thee to provide for them in providence and especially in grace. May they see thy hand going before them. Help them, Lord, to commit their way to thee and to trust also in thee, for thou shalt bring it to pass. And, O Lord, do remember those that are not well and all thy afflicted people. If it would please thee, do heal them, restore them. May they once again be able to gather in thy courts. And oh, do grant that grace to bear each affliction, Lord. And ever keep us from murmuring or complaining under it. But oh, may we be given that grace to view the afflictions thou didst endure. And, O Lord, may it please thee to help those that may need thy help in some special way. And those that have gracious exercises, oh, we pray thou wilt bring to fruition those exercises in thy time, in thy way. And do make a way where there seems no way. And, O Lord, do help the deacons here and bless the hymns they give out and give them all needed wisdom and grace in all things and help the dear friends to pray them along. And, O Lord, we do desire thou would add to them in the church precious souls. There might be those yet constrained by thy love to take up their cross and to follow them. Oh, do remove all hindrances, dear Lord, and may thy dear people run in thy delightful ways. And, O Lord, may we we be each favoured to know more and more of thy preciousness and suitability, the loveliness of a precious Jesus. And dear Lord, do come and bless Zion at large. May many be born again, even in this village and in this house of prayer. May there be yet an awakening of many sinners round to come and fill the place. And O Lord, may Zion be built up yet in these dark and solemn days. And may it please thee to yet remember this guilty nation. Hear the prayers that are put up for thy appearing, and that thou would overturn and overturn all the evil laws that have been brought in. May we have right laws according to thy word upon our statute book. Bless those that seek to stand for the truth and who ask for the old paths. Raise up, we pray, men of grace and heavenly wisdom, and in thy fear to fear thee and to serve thee in this land. May our Queen and the royal household yet be taught of thee and brought to hunger and thirst for the truth as it is in Jesus. And O Lord, do remember thy persecuted ones and those in famine and those in war, Lord. And we beg of thee to appear, that thou wilt sanctify all these solemn things that are taking place. And Lord, remember those in the Philippines, in all the aftermath of the tremendous storms that raged. Lord, all these things are in thy hand, and all events at thy command. Do comfort all those that are bereaved at this time. Lord, many have lost their loved ones. We do pray thou wilt sanctify these losses, that the death of one may yet be the birth of many. Lord, we pray that thou wilt come and help us to praise thee for all thy many, many mercies. Oh, we would not let them lie, forgotten in unthankfulness, nor without praises die. Do be with us and help us this evening, anoint us with that heavenly oil. For Lord, without thee we can do nothing. Oh, may we not just speak words, Lord, but may it please thee to take that coal, live coal, from off thy heavenly altar and put it upon our lips as thou didst Isaiah, that we may be this night the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message, an empty senders, not a way. Grant a true spirit of hearing, the gracious application of thy word. Leave us not, nor forsake us, O God of our salvation. Make up in giving where we so fail in asking, as we seek to fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim, pleading that thou wilt forgive all our sins and anything we've uttered amiss. We would ask it in that precious name that prevails above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 622. Poor fearful saint, be not dismayed, nor dread the dangers of the night. Thy God will ever be thy aid. and put the hosts of hell to flight. Hymn 622.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Psalm 35 and the 22nd verse. Psalm 35 and verse 22. This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me. The 35th Psalm and verse 22. This thou hast seen, O Lord, keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me. Dear David was at this time greatly troubled by all his enemies. If ever a man knew many enemies, David did. Not only those enemies without, but the mighty enemies within his own heart. And if you and I have got a real religion, we shall have many enemies, particularly the arch enemy of the soul, Satan. But Satan has many agents, and he will use them to try and overthrow and destroy the Lord's dear children. And David was continually troubled by them. But he says in our text, this thou hast seen, O Lord. What a mercy it is, and was with David, the Lord saw all those enemies, and they were all in the Lord's hand. They could not put one step against David without permission of heaven. And it's a wonderful thing when the Lord favours us to be able to say, like David did here, this thou hast seen, O Lord. And he truly felt that all those enemies that were against him, whether they be the Philistines, or whether they were Saul, or whether they were Absalom, or the enemies in his own heart, the Lord saw them all. And he has to come to the point where it was only the Lord that could deliver him from them. Now, I don't know why the Lord has laid this word upon me, but we venture with it and trust it is the Lord's message to our souls. This thou hast seen, O Lord. And when we think of the children of Israel, how they were pursued at the Red Sea by Pharaoh, seeking to destroy them, the Lord saw all those enemies that came against the children of Israel, Pharaoh and his host. And he sees how Satan pursues you and pursues me. And you look at those dear children of Israel, you know, with them, Pharaoh and his house were in the Lord's hand. They could only pursue the children of Israel with leave from heaven. The enemies that may pursue you, child of God, can only go with the Lord's permission, like with Job, Satan could only attack Job so far. Thus far shalt thou go, the Lord said to Satan, and no further. And the Lord saw exactly how Satan would attack Job, both in his livelihood, in his family, and in his soul. And Job had to come to the place where David did and the children of Israel did at the Red Sea, where they could truly say what David did here: "This thou hast seen, O Lord." The Lord saw all that the enemies were doing. And you know, sometimes the Lord permits Satan and his hellish crew to attack the child of God for one particular reason. There are many, but one I will name, and that is to bring them, to bring the child of God to the place where they have to beg of the Lord to appear because they feel so helpless in it all. And you look at the children of Israel at the Red Sea, how the Lord brought them to cry unto the God of Israel, particularly dear Moses did, and he prayed for them, begged of the Lord to appear. And it may be like that with you this evening. You're pleading for him to appear. Going back to what we looked at a little this morning, you know, if you've got a right exercise and right concern regarding your soul, or maybe concerning the sacred ordinances of the Lord's house, if that exercise, or whatever exercise it may be, if it's God-given, Satan will do all he can to try and destroy it. And that's what Satan was trying to do with the children of Israel. He was getting in the house of Pharaoh trying to destroy the dear children of Israel, but he couldn't, could he? The Lord saw Pharaoh and all his house following them, pursuing them. He saw the sea that was before them. He saw exactly how the children of Israel felt. And the Lord knew exactly how to deliver them. But oh, the cries for the Lord's appearing. This thou hast seen. But then I don't want to just confine it to the circumstances here. There may be various ones of you in trouble, in affliction, or there may be those that need the Lord in certain matters, you young ones, that concern you regarding your future and the pathway. And the Lord sees exactly what goes on in your heart in it all, and in all the situation that you're in. This thou hast seen, O Lord. It's a wonderful thing we can feel the Lord is seeing exactly what we need. It's often been a great help to me when I venture to stand up to preach. The Lord sees what the dear people that we try in our poor way to preach to need. Oh, he sees what's in your heart and what you need tonight, poor soul. Man may not see it. They look at the outward appearance, but God looketh at the heart. And he sees just what you need, whether it's a word of encouragement, of confirmation, or may even be a word of reproof. The hymn writer spoke a very beautiful word when he said, "He sees us when we see not him and always hears our cry." This thou hast seen, and you think in your poor heart this evening, wherever you may be in, this thou hast seen, O Lord. He's addressing it to the God of heaven. He's telling the Lord how he feels and how the Lord sees what he's in. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Our life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. The very minute things of our life, our pathway, in our soul's exercises, he sees. And yet this is a searching word. Because the all-seeing eye of the Lord sees us when we see not him. And how many things would you and I have done, especially in our unregenerate days, different today that we did then, because the all-seeing eye is upon us. It'll make you very cautious how you walk, poor soul. It'll make you very cautious how you speak, realizing the all-seeing eye of the Lord sees you. Oh, he does. And he knows just how much each child of God needs him. What is this with you and this with me? Well, it may be the enemies that pursue you. It may be this in the circumstance in providence that you're in. This thou hast seen, O Lord. It may be in the deep things of God in your heart. This thou hast seen. It may be in the sorrows you're walking in, or the distress you may be in. You think of dear Mary Magdalene, there after the resurrection, as she'd gone up to anoint the precious body of the dear Lord Jesus. There she was, weeping in the garden, an empty sepulchre. They have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. But the Lord saw exactly what she needs. And this is just going back to one feeling, how we feel when we get up to preach. The Lord sees what each one of you need tonight. I know not, but he sees. And he knows just how to appear for you in it. Oh, he does. And he sees the poor preacher as he goes into the pulpit. And he sees the inmost need in each of the Lord's servants, how they need his help, need his anointing, need him to appear. This thou hast seen. And then when the Lord gives a text, he knows the reason why he's given it to his servants to bring. This thou hast seen. Going back to dear Mary Magdalene, the Lord saw all her weeping, saw all her tears, saw all her concerns, and it was he that was to change that weeping into joy. Oh, it was. This thou hast seen, O Lord. But then we find two beautiful desires in the heart of dear David. And I would begin by putting to your heart and mine, is this the real longing of your heart as you come this evening? And is it mine? Well, the Lord knows. Keep not silence, O Lord, be not far from me. Keep not silence. There's one thing that a living child of God will often mourn over, and that is the silence of their God, when he's silent. When this text came, those words of the dear Saviour seemed to keep ringing in my heart. My sheep hear my voice. Are you longing tonight the Lord would speak to you? That he would not be silent. We find in the 28th Psalm, don't we, the commencing of it, where David speaks of this. He said, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." You see, he feared the silence of the Lord so much, lest he would be like them that go down into the pit. And you know, for the most part, the Lord is silent to the wicked. Oh, he is. He's silent to them. They know not his voice. But the real child of God that's born of the Spirit will know the voice of the dear Redeemer when he speaks. He says, "My sheep." He doesn't say all. He says, "My sheep." Those he has purchased. Those he has redeemed. Those that were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. My sheep, those that he suffered, bled and died for at Calvary, shall hear my voice. They shall hear it. Now may the Lord help me to enter into this a little. First of all, have we the desire then that he would speak? The hymn writer said, "Speak and let thy servants hear." But when the Lord speaks, have you and have I an ear to hear what he speaks? Are we ever listening for the Lord to speak? "He that hath ears to hear," the Saviour said, "let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Keep not silence. In other words, Lord, do speak. Think of dear Samuel. That little lad, what does he say? And the Holy Spirit has left it on record. He pleaded, didn't he? "Speak, for thy servant heareth. Speak, for thy servant heareth." There will be many places in your soul's journey where you have to plead this, that the Lord would speak to you. Because his voice, you see, if you go into the Song of Solomon, the bride of Christ there, she knew his voice, and she knew when he spoke to her. And his voice was most sweet to her, wasn't it? Oh, it was. I think of that beautiful word in the second chapter of the Song of Solomon. What does she say, the dear bride of Christ? She says, "My beloved spake." She knew what it was to hear his voice. "And he said unto me." You see, our text is very personal, because he says here, "Keep not silence, O Lord, be not far from me." What does she say? "My beloved spake, and he said unto me." He wasn't to anybody else, it's me, Lord. I long to hear thy voice. It's me. I must hear it. And what did the Lord speak to her? Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. Are there those of you tonight in the winter? In the winter, you see, you look at it naturally, like at this time of the year, the trees are bare, no leaves, no growth, the coldness of winter. And in our heart, we cannot see sometimes the signs, can we? We cannot feel his presence as we had in former days. There's not the growth that there had been in days past. The hymn writer said, the winter has been long, chilled my heart and stopped my song. But when he spake, my beloved, is he your beloved? Is he mine tonight? The dear Lord Jesus, he spake and he said unto me, rise up, rise up. What is that rise up? It's resurrection power. It's lifting the poor sinner out of all the sorrow because of their sins, out of all the darkness, out of all the coldness they've been in of winter. Rise up. It's a beautiful word, isn't it? You think those that we tried to look at this morning, exercise concerning the Lord's ways and his commandments. May the Lord whisper that to some poor soul tonight. Rise up. The Lord spoke it to the Apostle Paul. He did. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Rise up. My love. Look how he claims her. My love. Oh, may the Lord whisper that to your poor heart and mine this evening. My love. His love is toward you. His love which is everlasting. You want to know more of it if you've ever had a taste of it in your poor soul, and I have. We want to know more of it. My love, my fair one. She was so fair because he had washed her. He made her clean. The precious blood of Jesus, you see, cleanses the poor sinner from all sin. Thou art all fair. Oh, think of that word. Thou art all fair, my love, and there's no spot in thee. She looked for her sin, and it was all gone, washed away by the dear Redeemer. My fair one, and come away. Come away from all this sorrow, all this weeping, all this darkness. Come away. Come away from yourself. Come away from these enemies. For lo, the winter is past. What a wonderful time. You look at it naturally in the spring when winter is past. All the freshness, the growth, the flowers beginning to appear. He goes on to speak of it, doesn't he? The rain is over and gone. The time of the singing of birds is come. And the voice of the turtle, that is the voice of Christ, is heard in our land. And what is this land? It's your poor heart, poor soul. Keep not silence. Keep not silence. Oh, Lord, speak. But then, not only do you need him to speak comfort to you like he did the dear disciples. Who are they that need comfort? Those that are in sorrow, aren't they? Those that are weeping. And what did he speak to them? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You know, the words the Saviour spoke to those dear disciples, he came exactly where they were. Oh, it did. Just what they needed. But then we think, and I lovingly say it, of direction. How many times we need the Lord to tell us what we have to do. The hymn writer said, tell me what I have to do. Show me what I have to do. Tell me what I have to do, Lord. And every our strength renewed. We think of what we read together concerning Philip. You know, when he was commanded to go by the Lord to Gaza. We read of it this morning, didn't we? You think of that beautiful word. The Lord had wonderfully blessed his labours in Samaria. The church of God had increased much under his ministry, and then the Lord speaks to him. Arise and go unto the south, unto Gaza, which is desert. You may say, well, go to a desert. There's no doubt in the heart of Philip he questioned why the Lord was to send him down into the desert. But you know, it was a clear word of instruction, it was. Arise and go unto the south under Gaza, which is desert. Oh, the clear direction. You know, when you read back in our godly forefathers' days, they seem to have things so clear. When they needed direction, they went up to the house of God and the Lord wonderfully told them what they got to do. They were clear in it. So often in these dark days we seem to struggle along in the dark, don't we? The Lord's silence. But oh, when he does speak, how clear was the direction to dear Philip. Arise and go unto the south, unto Gaza, which is desert. And look at the willingness in the dear man to go. The Lord made him willing. But then how clear the direction was when he saw the eunuch reading in that chariot the prophecy of Isaiah. And what did the Spirit say to him? The Lord speaking, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Beautiful words they are. Go near. I think of a dear man many years ago. He was rightly exercised concerning following his dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, and in the sacred ordinances of the Lord's house. And he went up to the house of God and, Lord, do tell me what I've got to do. And the Lord gave the servant of God that beautiful word, go near and join thyself to this chariot. It was clear, you see, the Lord spoke. He knew what to do. And oh, may the Lord speak such a word as that. Philip knew what to do, didn't he? He could see then why he got to go into a desert. Sometimes the Lord leads his dear people into some very dark places, and in it they're taught and they're favoured, and the Lord sanctifies the darkness and sorrow to them, and out of it comes the sweet blessings of heaven. Keep not silent. keep not silence. Oh, Lord, that the Lord would speak. And I think of that beautiful word, it comes, I name it, in Isaiah, where the Lord said this, thou should hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is the way. And what will you be able to say with the hymn writer, the way I take cannot be wrong if Jesus be but there. Keep not silence. Oh, what a difference there is when the Lord speaks. It can change everything in a moment. But what is with me, and I just want to hint at it, is this. The Lord's a sovereign, how he speaks. If you go back through the Old Testament, where they had not the full gospel like we have it today, we so often find the Lord speaking audibly from heaven, like he did to godly Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and those dear saints of old. And they heard the voice from heaven, the Lord speaking. Moses, you think of the times that Moses was favoured to hear the Lord's voice speaking to him, telling him what he got to do. But the Lord does still speak audibly. And I'll tell you what, poor soul, if you ever hear his voice, you'll never forget it. Saul of Tarsus, we never forgot the Lord's voice, you know. When he said, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus said to him, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You know, the dear apostle never forgot that voice. But you look, that wasn't the only time he heard the Lord's voice, was it? Oh no, the Lord was to speak many times to him after that. Think of that word, what the Lord said to him when he was brought into the castle before the leaders. Be of good cheer, Paul. The Lord was to cheer his poor heart. And then when they were to be shipwrecked in Acts 27, he knew what it was for the Lord to speak to him. And oh, how the Lord spoke to him in that ship, that none of them would be lost. They would lose everything of the wares of the ship, but none of their lives would be lost. And what does he say concerning it? The Lord spoke to him and said to him, fear not, fear not. You know what it is when the Lord speaks a fear not to you? What will that do? It'll calm all your fears. It'll take them all away. The thing, circumstances may be exactly the same, but oh, the fears. We sung of it in that beautiful hymn, didn't we? Why those fears? Behold, 'tis Jesus, the hymn writer said. Poor fearful saint, be not dismayed, nor dread the dangers of the night. Thy God will ever give thee aid and put the hosts of hell to flight. Fear not. And when Abraham was faced with many enemies, what did the Lord say to him? Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Keep not silence. But then the Lord speaks through his precious word. How many times when you've been in great need, or need of comfort, encouragement, direction, and you've gone to the Word of God and pleaded as you opened it, the Lord would speak. And oh, written right across the page, you know, if I may just drop a personal note, it comes, was exercise concerning following the Lord in the sacred ordinances of his house. You know, the Lord spoke to me as I went to get the cows in for milking, and I walked down, one wouldn't come in, and she was right down in the stream. And I had to walk right across the field to get her. And when I got there she was by the water, grazing. And you know, as I looked into that water beside her, the Lord spoke audibly from heaven, "See, here is water. What doth hinder thee to be baptized?" And you know, I looked at all the things that hindered me, my sin, my unbelief, my poverty. And I looked at all these mountains that had been such mountains before me, but they were all gone. What doth hinder thee? The Lord had removed them all. And I walked back with this cow up to the farm, meditating upon what the Lord had said. And when I got back to the farm, I said to the Lord, "Lord, give me one more word and I'll go." And I opened the Word of God up. I went immediately and picked the Word of God up, and I opened it and let it fall open. And it opened on that first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And all I saw right across the page was this: "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized by the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And you know, that rang in my soul. How I milked those cows that Saturday afternoon, I should never know. But you know, I didn't know whether I was in the earth or where I was. Full of the blessing of the Lord, you see. Oh, his voice. I could well say with the spouse, "It's most sweet." We knew a little of it then. Oh, to have it again. But oh, you see, the Lord can use his word. And how many times you've opened it and all you've seen is what the Lord will speak to you. And how you know it's from the Lord is by the power of it. You see, when the Lord speaks, there's a blessed power. Let me prove it to you. You look when he called Lazarus forth from the tomb, the power there was in that word. "Lazarus, come forth," and look at the power. It raised Lazarus out of the tomb, it did. Such was the power. And it'll raise your poor soul out of whatever you may be in. And it raised David many times. And not only is there a sacred power with it, there is a sacred sweetness with it and savour with it. It's savour of Christ. Oh, it is. We read concerning the dear Lord Jesus that they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Oh, it was. And when you read back of those dear old servants of God many years ago, the power there was that accompanied the word. And oh, may there be that power manifested today. It's often my plea that that which is sown in weakness may be raised with power. You think of dear Elijah, a still, small voice. You know, there was a wonderful power in the earthquake. There was a wonderful power in the wind. But it was nothing compared with the power of that still small voice. keep not silence. Well, much further could be said on that. O Lord, be not far from me. Be not far from me. He wanted to feel the Lord nigh, didn't he? Jeremiah speaks of it, doesn't he? He didn't serve a God that was far off. He served the Lord who was nigh to him, to help him, to undertake for him, to appear for him. We think of David in that beautiful 22nd Psalm where he was in the depths and he pleads twice in that sacred psalm that the Lord would not be far. He says, but be not far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. And twice during that sacred psalm, in verse 11 too, he says, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. And you know that 22nd psalm, though it was penned by David, it was the sweet and searching yet blessed experience of the dear Saviour in all his agony. Be not far from me. And may that be our fervent prayer as we leave the house of God tonight. Be not far from me. You want to feel the Lord nigh, don't you? You think of the two that journeyed to Emmaus and all the things that exercised them and concerned them. Christ had been crucified and taken from them, and Jesus himself drew near and he went with them. He wasn't far from them, was he? He was nigh at hand to help them, to undertake. And there's a good prayer what they uttered, didn't they? We tried to pray it tonight. When they arrived at Emmaus, he made as though he would have gone further. But we read this, but they constrained him. Oh, you may say, what, me, poor sinner, like they constrained him? They constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening. The day is far spent. And they weren't disappointed, were they? He heard their prayer and he went in and tarried with them. Oh, may the Lord favour us with this sweet experience, that we might know him nigh at hand, a very present help in trouble, not far from us. And especially as we go through life's journey, and especially as we come to the swellings of Jordan. It'll be your prayer, you know, from the beginning of the journey, and it'll be your prayer right the way through, and it'll be the prayer on the dying bed. Be not far from me, O God. And he says here, be not far from me. And the Lord knows how personal that is with you and with me. And may the Lord favour us with it as we go on in life's journey. I've only scratched around the surface of it this evening, but may the Holy Spirit apply this text, and may it be the fervent desire of each of us. And if he's with you, poor soul, all will be well. Oh, it will. With Christ in the vessel, the hymn writer said, I'll smile at the storm. And so you will. If you've got the Lord with you. I am with thee, Israel, passing through the fire. And those of you that may be in it tonight, it won't do you any harm. Only destroy the dross in us. thy dross to consume, and thy gold to refine. And you see, the gold will be brought forth like Job proved. He says, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The Lord was very near to Job, though he couldn't always feel it, could he? And nor were you. You'll know both sides of this. You'll know when the Lord withdraws, and you'll know when he appears. Oh, you will. When he's nigh at hand. Well, may the Lord bless the word. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £735, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Timothy Rosier will preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Chapman next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 993. O Zion, afflicted with wave upon wave, whom no man can comfort, whom no man can save, with darkness surrounded, by terrors dismayed, in toiling and rowing, thy strength is decayed. Hymn 993. Thank you.
Dear Lord, do come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little to bind. Forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. And oh, may the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.